all you awesome anglers. Welcome back to the Largemouth Angler Podcast, where we help you pull more fish in. It's me again, Herschel, your host, and the largemouth angler, just a largemouth guy that loves catching those largemouth bass. And I know that bass fishing can be hard. It takes a lot of time that we all don't have and just to be crazy awesome with it. But I'm here to help you with those tips and tricks to make the most of that little time and just catch more fish. I feel like it's been a while since I've been behind the microphone, since we've met like this. Wherever you're listening, I don't know if you're just sitting in a room, got me on your smart speaker or what, in your car. That's how I listen to my podcast, but thanks for listening, by the way. I appreciate that. I've actually had some people reach out to me recently and say, what's up? I mean, I'm enjoying this and everything, and where's your new episodes? And that's good feedback. That's good to know. So I appreciate that quite a bit. My life has been crazy. Okay. Just to kind of really say that easily. I'm sure that all of y'all could say that after a year with a pandemic and everything. But regardless of even of that, where I'm at here in Texas, we had back in the middle of February here in 21, there was a major freeze, and basically the weather was colder. I had friends up in Minnesota who had warmer weather than we had down here in Houston, and our homes are not built for that. So, I mean, busted pipes, all kinds of stuff is what we're dealing with, and I'm a plumber. So, like, my life has become insane having to deal with just that. So I'm finally, like, kind of able to see the light of day right now and said, hey, maybe I can actually record a podcast. I'm still going to be fixing these for quite some time, but let's see if I can't get some of these in. I've actually got some that are ready for, and they're just ready for me to record and do and everything like that. Maybe I can stack a few things up. So that's one of these. It's one of these because, like I said, I've been going 100 miles an hour, been a crazy time and everything like that. So now I'm like, man, I'm ready to go fishing. What in the world do I need to be doing? My brain is already thinking about what I'm going to prepare myself with, rods, reels, tackle, all of that whole setup. And with bass fishing, you know, I'm always trying to figure out how to be most effective when I get out there. And it seems like that everybody is trying to find some kind of magic lure that catches fish every single time. I mean, even myself. And the thing is, there's really not anything that does that. What you want to do is get put out there whatever they're going to be craving, whatever they want to eat. And throughout the year, that changes. So our techniques and lures that we use throughout the year, those should change as well. Sometimes it's just not about finding the right lure, but knowing what they're going to be eating and whatever that time of year is. So where I fish here in Texas, I always feel like my seasons aren't the same as most other areas. And so this is going to be kind of generalized. I mean, right now it's kind of springtime as I'm recording this, just came out of the wintertime many times, except for when you have a freeze that happens once every 30 years. Our winter is down here is more like a fall is what it feels like. We have our moments, but really, my goodness, I feel like I got two seasons. We have summer and we have cold summer. So it's really kind of hard to decide if we're dealing with more of a fall type of fishing or winter. But the idea with all of this is that you've got to pay attention to what's going on in order to try and figure out what that next step is. So before we jump into the seasons as an angler, we need to keep some general feeding habit ideas in mind. When a bass is given an easy meal and the energy used to get it is less than the energy that they're going to be getting from it, they see this as a benefit and they take the opportunity to eat it. Kind of like for people, but not. But in this way, looking at it this way, for many people, if it takes more than 30 minutes to make dinner, might as well just go somewhere and get the food. We can get it and be eating faster than if I had to cook it all and everything else. My goodness, that's too much work, and then I got to clean up all that stuff? I'm just going to go get this and make that guy take care of it all for me. But another thing to think about is that what's going on where you are? Like, we've got a lot of lakes around here that are stocked by the Texas Parks and Wildlife, and one of those things that get stocked are trout. Well, guess what? Bass like eating them when the stocking happens. And so you have these little fish in a huge amount, and that gives them an easy target. Crawfish type baits, they're also pretty good pretty much year round, but just pay attention to the water temperature when you're using one. Just like with pretty much anything, the colder the water, the slower the presentation. So I'll start with just a random season. I'll start with the fall. The water cools off, rain starts coming in, and nutrients, they start to wash into the lake, and stuff starts to eat that, okay? Think of plankton stuff, but to use a technical term, I'll call them buggies. This is harder in some places than others to determine. Some places it's obvious because you will actually get quite a bit of runoff from the rain, and the movement goes towards that incoming water. Even if you don't have that much runoff, it's still kind of what happens that way. Basically, look for a way for the water to move. In a lot of these ponds that I fish, they're also used for storm drainage, and they have channels and piping that are the source for this. Now, shad start searching for food, and they go towards wherever these buggies are. And well, the bass follow the shad. Bass use these shad to fatten up for the winter time. And for baits, this time of year, pretty much anything that looks like a shad, that works. If you don't know what a shad looks like, Google it. Spinner baits, crank baits, topwaters. What you want to do is cover a lot of water in order to get strikes. With winter time comes colder temperatures and forage starts to die off. These are the ones that become the targets now for the bass. Once we get water temperatures below, let's say somewhere in the 40s, which I very rarely see, we start to see a lot of these shad die off, and they're now an easy meal. Use something that's going to be something slow falling to try and mimic a dying shad. So you can do this with something like a jerkbait. I've even modified jerkbaits to do this a little bit better by taking some lead dots. They have these weights that are little dots that you peel and stick to a bait, like stickers, wherever you want. With those, I can make a bait suspend and even fall in one direction versus another. And also remember that the bass are the same temperature as their surroundings. Their metabolism starts to slow down. They don't need to eat as much, so they're harder to catch. Try to figure out what's in that lake or pond, match the hatch, so to speak. We've talked about that before, and maybe even use a slightly larger bait along with a slow retrieve. The idea between a larger bait versus a smaller bait is presenting a hamburger versus a French fry. Again, that whole idea of providing something that's going to give it more energy for the amount of work than it's actually going to be doing. They're not going to get much back from that French fry, but they're going to get a lot more from that hamburger. Springtime is awesome time. In the spring, we have the pre-spawn, the spawn, the post-spawn. Each stage has its own available food. When the temperature begins to rise, a bass's metabolism speeds up and it needs more food to survive. During spring, all species of fish start moving toward the shallow water lines to get warm from the sun. Larger bait fish that survive the winter limit the available food sources for bass. So shad, minnows, bluegill, all the smaller fish are all primary targets for bass. So in spring, bass become stone college students that are just not such picky eaters, and they eat whatever's there pretty much. Use something to match the hatch, what's there in both size and color. With pre-spawn, bass feed a lot because they know that during the 10 to 14 days of spawning, they're not going to feed at all. So as the water starts to get above 50 degrees, bass change to a high protein diet as their main source of food. This helps for egg development in females. This is why crawfish are a highly sought after food source during the pre-spawn. Lures that have the size and color of the crawfish where you're at are killer during this time of year. Now, during the spawning phase, the bass become defensive. Now, we talked about this slightly back in episode 6. That's memory, but we'll see if that's actually right on why bass strike. If you haven't, go back, have a listen to that one. Just look for the one that says why bass strike. Don't necessarily see if I got the right episode number or anything like that. But bluegill, crawfish, even turtles will attack the bed. And bass will aggressively attack these because they're a threat. They're going to try and run them away from the bed. If they come back, the bass will kill it. Choose something that imitates these things that threaten the bass eggs. Now, side note, I know there's a huge debate on should you or should you not fish a spawning bed. And I'm not going to get into that part of it. And that's why I'm not talking heavily about other types of baits and techniques here. All of this is just an explanation of how you would do it if you choose to do that. If you don't want to fish the beds, that's fine. Don't. Now, after spawn, we have, yes, that's right, the post-spawn. The female will leave the male to guard the fry. The majority of the female bass can be found in deeper water now, resting from the spawning ritual. The males, they're going to be the ones that stay near the beds, protecting the fry. And what you choose here depends on whether you're looking for the male or the female. To target the male, use topwater baits. The fry stay very shallow and near the surface, so the male bass protecting them is swimming just beneath and is going to attack anything that poses a threat to the fry. Surface baits that make noise and scare the fry become an immediate enemy of that male bass. Now, females, they're going to go to a slightly deeper water and are very hungry. Now, keep in mind, they're still healing, so just about any bait that's slow is a good choice. By now, the water's warmed up significantly. The shad will go to the shallows for their own spawning season. Their migration coincides with the females moving toward the deeper water, and they become a primary food source as they cross paths. After the bass spawning cycle is complete, the bass becomes the predator again. As the water continues to warm, other species begin their spawning cycles. Bass use these as easy feeding opportunities. As the water temperature gets to about 70 degrees, the shad start to spawn, and this typically occurs about 2 or 3 weeks after the bass spawn. When the shad follow a bait, there's a sign of a shad spawn. It shows that the male is also looking for a female mate. At the water's edge, you're going to also notice a small groups of shad chasing each other around the rocks and vegetation or pretty much anything in the water. And this is how they spawn. And hungry bass eat up on them in the shallow waters. So once you notice the shad spawn, choose baits that mimic the same size, shape, color of the shad that you have. Silver or white baits or with the green or blue work pretty well. Bluegill and other sunfish, they start their spawn after the shad. And you'll see this with small, cleared out little circles on the bottom of these shallow pockets. A good bluegill bedding ground, they're going to have tons, like 20, 30, 40, 50, just a lot of these circles inside a fairly small area. Maybe only like, let's say 20 yards or so across. Big bass are around the edges of these spawning grounds, and they're waiting for the weak, the tired bluegill just to go by. And these species have a huge color variance depending upon where you are in the country. And it's super important to figure out for you what best matches the colors of what you have. In other words, match the hatch. Your bait choices, they should mimic the bluegill or the small sunfish in your area. When we get to midsummer or earlier for some warmer areas, more food opportunities for bass open up. Pretty much consisting of everything. As summer comes along, shallow water starts to get hot. Bass go to deeper water for cooler temperatures. They use channels, ledges, grass lines, points to move and search food. Finding these structures and using baits that mimic the food that they're going after will increase your chances of landing bass. I've also used in the past a castable Fish Finder in order to find some of these channels. You can pick what you want, but I've been able to figure out some of this even with one of those cheap $100 ones that, I mean, you can cast it from the bank. I've got it on my little, I'll strap it to the side of my little kayak or whatever. I've used this to find channels more than anything, but I've seriously been able to just watch the fish moving in these areas. Now, it's cool because some of these ponds that I frequent a lot, now that I've done some of that preliminary work, I know where those channels are now, and I can hit those, and it makes, now what I think about in the past, before I had or anything like that, and before I really focused on a lot of those things, like, oh, well, that's why I was able to get them this time and everything like that. It helps me answer a lot of those questions that I would have had there. The weather here is also why, personally, I like fishing early in the morning in the summer, even though it could still be more than 90 degrees at 6 in the morning. The sun maybe hasn't really come out enough to warm the water up a lot, and you can find bass along the edges as well. And so, I mean, I still so clearly remember catching a really good-sized 4-pounder within just a couple of feet from the bank on the 4th of July one year. And that's only about 30 or 45 minutes after the sun had come up with a Fire Tiger crankbait. But it was already like, I think it was like 95, 96 degrees or something like that outside that morning. And I mean, again, it was only like 30, 45 minutes after the sun had come up on the Fire Tiger color. I like using that because it mostly matches a lot of the sunfish that I'm used to seeing. But then it has like this little flash of orange and yellow, just like a thing to attract. But later in the day is when you had those really hot times of the year, the summertime, we run into really a different challenge, especially with something like the thermocline. I really could literally do an entire episode in this, and maybe I will. But basically, the idea that you want to get is that there is a point where the water doesn't mix well, and you have like this barrier that is deeper in the water where there isn't as much oxygen. And then a point above that where there's a good amount of temperature change, and then near the top where there's the least amount of temperature change. And it's trying to find that point where you are between the top and the thermocline where you will find the greatest success. And that doesn't mean that those are the only places that the bass are going to be, but the majority will be there, so increasing your chances in this case. Depending upon your water clarity, this depth could change. Basically, the clearer the water, the deeper the thermocline could be. If you don't have something like a fish finder that can help you see what depths the fish are at, then you're just going to have to play with this a bit where you're at. Now, by knowing the feeding habits of bass, you can really present a lure that the bass will search for. Choose something that mimics the size, color of what the bass are feeding on for the season. There's a ton of things that make a good day of fishing, and using that proper bait gets you started in the right direction. And that's really all that I've got for you today. I'd like to know what your favorite lure is, if you have something like that actually for each time of year, or even if you have one that you feel like that you can fish pretty much all year. You know, I think I've said this before in multiple episodes, but my year-round go-to is the worm, Texas rigged. And you can fish it so many different ways, present it so differently. It just makes for me a great general purpose bait. So let me know on the Insta. I'm the_largemouth_angler, or you can check the show notes for any of my other handles, emails, things like that. Please take a second to rate this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Of course, I'm sure it's 5 stars. If you'd like to help out and sponsor this podcast, please go to anchor.fm/largemouthed-angler and click on support. Keep those lines tight. And remember that, yes, while bass fishing is hard and we don't have a ton of time to do it, I'm here to help you with the tips and tricks that you need to make the most of that little time and just catch more fish. This is the Largemouth Angler Podcast, voiced by me, Herschel, the largemouth angler, a largemouth guy that just loves to catch largemouth bass. Keep it real, you awesome anglers. Adios.